So if you have your Bibles, go to Psalm 16:11, and I'll read that in just a moment while you get there. And we're going to talk about the pleasure of His presence. The pleasure of His presence. Not somebody that you know, not somebody that's hanging out with you. It's always a pleasure to be around other Christian people. It's a pleasure to see people that you know. It's a pleasure to see family. Amen. So, but there's something, it's a deeper pleasure to be in the presence of the Lord. And I was praying this week about this message, and I really felt the Lord impress me to speak this to you today because it's a Father's Day. And, you know, God is with us. He's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be His name. His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's good to know that the Lord is watching over us at all times. He blesses us and encourages us. He strengthens us. He keeps things from getting to us that would harm us. The Bible is very clear in Psalm 91. It says that 1,000 will fall to your side and 10,000 to your right. Psalm 121 says that we will not dash our foot against a stone, and He'll bless our coming in and going out. Psalm 91, it talks about again that no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come near your dwelling. There's a lot of blessings in those two psalms that He has promised us. But in Psalm 61, it's a psalm that David sung, and it is a psalm that literally it ministers to the hearts of everyone that reads it, because it talks about God's protection, His love, and His awesomeness and gratefulness. And all the things that you can describe God as, He's that. He's there. And I want to read now the psalm. It says, "You will show me the path of life." And we'll talk about that in a moment. "In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now, these just aren't words that were printed on a page. This is the Word of God. This is the promise of God for all those that know Him. And He desires that everyone knows Him as the Father, as the Savior, as the power of His kingdom. I mean, I want you to look at those words, and I want you to begin, if you don't mind, to compare yourself to all three of those statements. You will show me the path of life. God's willing to show you the right path to be on. And even as Christians that I know and people, they take the wrong path sometime, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. "In your presence is fullness of joy." You know, the Bible is very clear that we are always in the presence of God. He just doesn't show up and leave. But oftentimes we let this world that we live in captivate us in such a way that it begins to impact us, to cause us to have negative emotions. Emotions that are quite opposite than joy, such as sadness, despair, depression. Just to mention a few that seem to rain upon people in the Christian world whenever it wants. But this is a promise of God that when we're in His presence, which is always fullness of joy, contentment, peace that surpasses all understanding. So He gives us and shows us the paths of life, and He also gives us fullness of joy. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible is very clear. It says that this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we find strength in joy. In other words, you can probably leap over the wall, as the Bible says, that you can vault over a wall because of the Lord. You can run to the rock that's much higher than I or you and find safety in it. The book of Proverbs talks about the effect that God's word is a high tower, and we can run and find safety in it. The name of the Lord is a safety for us. And yet we allow the world to cripple us, to show up whenever it feels and begin to press joy out to make room for sadness instead of gladness. And I really want you to look at this, because this is a promise of God for our life. A promise that He will fulfill, but we have to act upon the belief system that the Bible teaches us to react to the fact that He has promised us something that is not in the future, but is now. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's right now. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How many, if you don't have to raise your hand here, it's more rhetorical than anything, because I think everyone would raise their hand. How many love pleasures? I mean, going to the boardwalk in Santa Cruz is a pleasure to some people. Going out to dinner and to a favorite restaurant is a pleasure. Getting off your diet to eat anything you want is a pleasure. Having friendship is a pleasure. Having your father here with you in service today is a pleasure. Having money in the bank is a pleasure. Having a car to drive is a pleasure. Don't set your eyes, if I may say this early in the message today before I really preach, is the fact that don't set your eyes on the negative all the time. This world has so much negativity that you can just choose whatever you wanted to see. It is full of billboards of negativity, if I may bring that analogy like that, or that metaphor like that. There's negative speech on televisions. There's negative speech in the reading of the news. There's negativity all around us. But at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. In other words, we have a right, because of God's promise, His present promise, to be happy. To be able to sense the pleasures of God in our life. To know that He is there to protect us and to guide us. To prosper us spiritually. To bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's ours for the receiving. Not for the grasping, not for the travailing, oh God, may I have this. It is ours for the receiving because he has promised it. You're going to show me the path of life. You're going to be in my presence, so I'm going to have joy. And I'm going to be at your right hand. You have to understand it. When the Bible talks about the right hand of God, that is the strength of God. The right hand of God is the strength of God. That's where the pleasures are found because, frankly, just to make it simple, ain't nobody going to mess with God. And he's got you on the right hand. That's why he said, 1,000 will fall to your left, but 10,000 will fall to your right. And we have to understand that that's there for us. And let me read this to you. And read along with me in this next slide. I think you'll enjoy what this says. Those who commit themselves to God's care and submit themselves to God's guidance will find a blessed portion in him. If we have the pleasures of his favor, we should not fail to give him the praise of it. And I think that's why people don't worship in the kingdom like they used to. Because they're caught up in this world. They're not submitting or committing their total life to God. It's like a partial relationship. It's like every once in a while I'm going to visit God. And when I get there, I'm going to be happy. But we are always with the Lord. And he is always wanting to give us a blessed portion of the kingdom daily. I want to encourage everyone, if I could today, on this great day, Father's Day, I want to encourage everyone today to pray, to spend time with God, not just a minute through the day and not just 3 minutes a day or whatever time that you will give to God and that kind of an attitude, but to seek God and to come before God and get into his presence and submit to him. I want to challenge you to stop asking God for things you want and start asking God for what he wants for your life. Because he wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to heal you. As I said before, he wants to prosper you spiritually. He wants to answer your prayers, Mark 11 and 24. Whatever you pray in Jesus' name, if you believe, you shall have them. Where two agree is touching the same thing upon this earth, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. Jesus stated in Matthew, he stated this. He said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it. It's a belief system. It's an embracing of God's word and placing it where you can just hold on to it, the promises of God, and not allowing this world to dictate to you. And oh yes, this world can get to you. And oh yes, things can happen that you did not order. Things show up that all of a sudden you get a phone call or whatever. Don't misunderstand me. I know that we are made up of emotions. We are human beings. There are emotions. But what I'm saying to you today is don't allow it to make you a prisoner. Stand in the presence of God, lifting up holy hands and praise him. I truly believe throughout the body of Christ, worship is not like it used to be. It's almost rote. It's almost not even praise. It's just simply words sung and everybody's just kind of waiting to get through it. Now, I'm not chastising you. I'm saying that this is throughout the body of Christ. It's very difficult. But I'm telling you, the secret to praising God is to submit and commit yourself to him in such a way that you desire to praise God. You don't need a worship team to praise God. You don't need a worship leader to praise God. You don't even need music to praise God. You simply just praise God and thank Him for the goodness of His mercy in our lives. Thank you for the protection that He gives us because we abide, Psalm 91, under the shadow of His wings. We are created to be able to go to the pavilion of God's love. We are created and we are able through prayer and through belief to find shelter in God's mercy. This is the God that we serve. He is not someone that someone can see on a statue, on a dashboard, or a picture on the wall. He is God. He is forever, everywhere. I read a beautiful sign the other day that said this. People see God every day. The problem is they don't recognize Him. What blinds the eyes of a Christian is the things that cause them to be so down and out. Take off those blinders and know that God will take care of everything for you. God will bless you. God will bring all things back in order in your life. You just have to learn to praise Him and to acknowledge Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Glories. I make no excuse for getting a little excited here. I believe that the Lord our God wants to bless this church. I believe the Lord our God wants to bring deep foundation into this church and bring a knowledge into this church of His presence and His love and His mercy. Commitment, submitment, and finding guidance. You know, guidance doesn't come from men. Guidance comes from God. God will use men to share His word into people's lives, but it's only a vessel. All things come from God. And we have to understand that because we have to embrace that and we have to know that. The first thing we have to do is trust God. To trust Him. You know, I question people's trusting God. Because what I see today, more so than ever before, is when everything's going good, they trust God. When everything's going bad, they ain't trusting God at all. Excuse the vernacular. Because they're allowing the bad to burden them down so heavily that it's as though there's not even a God existing in their life. Trust God. Don't trust men. Trust God. God is whom you can trust. God will never fail you. God will heal you. God will bless you. God will fulfill every word in His Bible. He even calls Himself a sustainer of your life. He sustains us. David said, I am old now, but when I was young, all the way to this age, and I'm paraphrasing there, all the way to the age of being old, I never saw God's children begging bread. Right. Right. You know, say, well, you really don't understand that, Pastor. Yes, I do, because I've been in the street all over this United States of America, and I have seen people begging bread, but they weren't God's children. I have pulled up people's pants walking down the malls where their whole naked derriere was showing. And I pulled up their pants and got them to sit down.
In Las Vegas, Nevada, I went in the middle of a four-way street in a busy street, dropped off by the pastor where I was preaching, and I pulled my belt off and pulled up the man's pants because he wasn't sagging now. They were all the way down to his knees, and I had to pull up his pants, put the belt on him, and walk him across the street. Why didn't he pull him up himself? Because he didn't have many possessions and he was pushing a cart protecting his possessions. He would rather walk like that instead of losing his possessions. Sometimes I wonder, we need to be a little like that. We need to hang on to God. We need to know that we have submitted and committed, but no matter how the world wants to make us look, we're going to hang on to the Lord, and God will come and he will cover us with his love. He will bless us. You need to understand trusting God will get you from point A to point B safely. Secondly, we need to hope. And I think people have lost their hope. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 and 19 that we have a hope that he is the anchor of our soul. So in the treachery of life, the winds of life, the hurricanes of life, the tsunamis of life that crash against you, he is the anchor of your soul, and he will not allow you to be taken out into the world or out into the storm and be damaged. He will keep you anchored to himself. You know what I love about Luke 15? Is when the prodigal realized, I could go back home. Even though I've made a mistake, even though I have erred, even though I spent all my inheritance, even though I'm living and eating right now in the pen of a pig, and I'm eating the carob husks that the pig is eating, if I can yet get back there, I could be at least a servant in my father's house. And I love the fact that when the father saw him coming, because the father was looking every day for his son to come down that road patiently, knowing that one day he'd be back. And when he saw him, he ran out to him and kissed him, put a cloak on him, shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger, and brought him home. And they celebrated. You see, even though he was out there, even though he was so far that his life became horrible, you can't get any worse than living with a pig and eating dinner with a pig. Can't get any worse than that. But he remembered. He had hope. He had hope. And I pray that if you're hearing my speaking this morning, if you're hearing this heart of a preacher, I want you to hear the fact that no matter what's going on in your life right now, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. As long as you breathe, you have hope. Don't lose hope. Don't let the enemy steal that from you. Let me ask you a question here. Got faith? You got faith? Sometimes you feel like you're walking down a dark, barely lit hallway. It's dark all around you, but you're just walking down there and you just don't know anymore. Ask yourself, do you have the faith that you once had? Do you have the belief that you once owned?
But you have surrendered it over to lies of this world. You surrendered it over to the enemy. You have surrendered it over to negativity. Negativity will try to destroy your faith. Negativity will take you and pour your faith out and fill up the chamber where faith once lived with the negative results of a world that wants to destroy you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for when we were once lost, we called on His name and He saved us. But God, who is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that is within us. The little widow woman bent down with the issue of blood. She said, if I could just get to Jesus, He shall heal me. Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was coming, screamed out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, hush, don't bother him. But he screamed louder. Jesus stopped and said, call him. He was ready and to run to him. And he shredded off his identity. The identity, the cloak that he was blind from a child because his father was blind also. He'd been begging his whole life in the same place, wearing this cloak that they wore, asking for alms to be able to survive. We are not in survivors, we are victors. We're not victims. But he surrendered that identity and he ran to Jesus without anything covering him. The identity was gone and he ran to the King of Kings, the healer of this world, to receive a brand new identity. And let me tell you something, he had faith. And Jesus met his faith. You got to be willing to let go of this stuff. You got to be willing to throw it down. That's what's keeping you at a distance from the King, keeping you from being healed spiritually or physically. Whatever it may be, throw off that identity. I know that 47 years ago, I threw the identity of who I was in the world away, and I brought the identity of Christ Jesus on my life, and I have never look back. I never went back to get that cloak of who I was. I am thankful that every day I wake up and I put on the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's God's desire, is that we put Him on every day. Got faith? Do you believe God can heal you? Do you believe God can take care of your circumstances? Do you believe God knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart? The Bible says that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, separating the joints and the marrow and the spirit and the soul, and it knows every thought and intent of your heart. I love when Ezekiel was there in the valley of dry bones, and God asked, can these bones live? Ezekiel had enough wisdom to say, only You know, God. He didn't say, oh yeah, definitely they can, just let me loose on them. Only You know, God. Only God knows how to handle you. Only God knows how to bless you. Only God knows how to care for you. Only God knows what your day tomorrow looks like. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, because the troubles are heavy enough today. But He's got your tomorrow in His hands, and God wants to prosper you. You know, out of discomfort comes success. Success doesn't come out of comfort. And maybe God's just pushing bad people and bad things out of your way so you can move in to your destiny that He has for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He is a mighty God. Got faith. I want to show four things here, and I'm going to bring it to a close in just a moment. The hope of the faithful. The trust of the faithful. The surety of the faithful and the joy of the faithful. We have to have these in our life. We have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Faithful to the Father. Jesus is forever interceding for us. He's praying daily before the throne of God. He's at the right hand of the Father. Praying. And he's able to save all those who come to God through him. I'm really excited. You know, this month I've spoken in two different locations. And this month I have seen 15 people come to the Lord. I'm excited. We got to have that hope. We got to have that trust. We got to have the surety that God is really God. And this just isn't something that has been impounded into our head from a child that we just think it's there. He is real. He created this universe. He created you. He created us. He watches over us. He guards us. When we look to that hill, whence cometh our help cometh from the Lord. We can walk in the sun and we won't be burnt. We walk in the night and we will not be burnt by the moon. He will keep us. Bless us going in and bless us going out. We won't even dash our foot against the stone. He watches over us. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that people were worried about in their life. I'll never have, I'll never have, I'll never have. And he compared all the fields and the sparrows and all their lifestyles and the beauty of such. That they were more beautiful than all of Solomon's wealth and design. He said, he's going to take care of us. First thing we have to do is seek him first. We need to be faithful. We have to have joy. Have to have joy. I believe the enemy's greatest chore is to steal our joy. I believe he comes after our joy daily. He makes our smile turn to a frown. He makes our eyes look sad. He makes our countenance look like we are just bummed out. Now, I'm not saying that I walk around perfect all the time. I wish I could. But I'm saying to you that what I remind myself every day is you got to dig yourself out when the problems get so heavy and I can't lift my head as high as I want to. I am remembered that he is a shield about me and the lifter of my head. I read the other day that the Bible declares that he is a shield of his anointed. My Lord and my God. We just got to learn to put the smile. Get the eyes looking bright. That the enemy has no power over us. God can help us in any situation, any condition, any circumstance. One pastor was preaching one time. He said, so you're under circumstances, what you told me. And the person was talking to him and said, yes, I'm under the circumstances. He said, why are you under them? Get above them. Get above your circumstances. Don't let them crush you. Somebody's offended you. Don't hold on to it. Don't rehearse it. Don't curse it. But reverse it. Because that is what we have. That's a gift from God to us that we will not allow the words spoken against us to take us down, but it will be returned to them. And we shall inherit the things of the righteous. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
not just what you feel like doing that day. All your heart, trust in the Lord. And lean not on your own understanding. You see, where we get in trouble, church, is what we do is we lean on our understanding. You can't think that way. You got to think like God. You got to think like His Word. You got to think like what would God do right now? And you got to understand, I can't let my understanding, because my understanding of my circumstance, man, I'm dead. I'm a goner. I'm through. I'll never make it. I don't have it any longer. But allow your understanding to be the understanding of God's presence. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. All your ways, not just some of the ways. All your ways. God, I'm going to acknowledge You in everything I do. Praise His mighty name. Praise His mighty name. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? That's a question. He's asking this. Will it not even be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? He wants to come and find us joyful, hopeful, rejoicing. He doesn't want to come back and find us all sad and mad, bummed out, disbelieving, troubled. He wants to find us full of joy, knowing that our hope surpasses what people may say. You'll never make it. God says you're going to. You'll never do that. God says you will do that. You'll not be part of this. God says you are part of this. Let me tell you, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing nigh. It's getting closer. But let me tell you, He is not yet here yet. We need to show the joy of the Lord to the world. What we look like and who we are. Letting them know that God is worthy of all praise. Now I'm going to sing. I'm going to close with a song. This came to my heart when I was putting this song together. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now listen, I am a son. And this is the Lord that has made me so. I am a son. I am a son. And this is the Lord that has made me so. You are a daughter. You are a daughter. And this is what the Lord has made me so. You are a daughter. You are a daughter. And this is what the Lord has made me so. So this is the day. Join with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. Rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.